Will you take your Bibles with me, please? And there's message notes in your bulletin to follow along this morning. We're continuing our series as we begin our 100th anniversary year. We're calling this year the Year of the Spirit. So I've been talking about the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, which is the history of the very first church and how it began to grow and spread. And at the center of it is the work of God's Spirit bringing through ordinary people the continuing ministry of Jesus Christ. We have a vivid example of that as we talk today about God's Spirit working through us. God's Spirit working through us. And if you'll stand with me, we're going to read Acts 3, Acts chapter 3. And just follow along as I read the first 8 verses of Acts chapter 3. The church is very, very young. It's just been born under the power of the Holy Spirit. And here's what happens. One day, verse 1, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a crippled man from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those who were going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And taking him by the right hand, he held him up. He helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. And he jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and, of course, praising God. Hallelujah. We thank you for what you are doing through ordinary people to touch great human need in our world today by the power of your Spirit. So here we are, Lord. Here we are. Help us to grow in our faith and our understanding of how your Spirit works through us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. I have in my hand a letter that was written to me. I just got it this past week and a half ago, or so ago. And it's about an experience that happened here 2 weeks ago this morning during that prayer ministry time when, as we were singing, we had people come forward and pray. Guy writes me and he said, I came forward for prayer because I was so distressed. He said, my otherwise normally healthy brother who lives 900 miles away just had a stroke, some paralysis on the right-hand side. We didn't know what else had done. He said, I was quite concerned about this. And so I came forward for prayer on behalf of my brother. And one of the ladies said, I don't know her person. I don't know her. I don't know her name. I don't know her personally. But one of the ladies, we just began to pray the prayer of faith for my brother. And then when we had prayed, she looked at me and she said, I feel like the Lord wants me to tell you that you're supposed to call the doctor. You're supposed to call your brother and tell him to call your doctor tomorrow because he has some incredibly good news for you. She just stepped out. I believe God's saying this, that his doctor is going to have some incredibly good news for him tomorrow. So he did that. And he couldn't get a hold of his brother till that Monday night, the next day evening. And as soon as his brother on the other end who had the stroke picked up the phone, he said, we have had a miracle. He said, all my tests came out clear. I'm just doing wonderfully well. And on top of it, we had these huge bills from all the CAT scans and MRIs today. And somebody, we don't know who, told the hospital not to charge us. And so I am healthy. We have no debts. He said, and so this guy came and he said, I loved his last sentence. He said, which was sort of the moral of the story for the letter, please encourage our people not to be timid to come for prayer. Well, I'm trying. Every Sunday I said, if you need prayer, you come, because God does things here. But even more than what God did for somebody in need, what I'm fascinated about is that he, in this young man's life, used a lady whose name he didn't even know. I don't even know which of our prayer workers it was, female prayer workers. But isn't this amazing that God could do such a miracle, but he does it through a faith-filled person who's willing to step out? That's what I want to talk about today. In fact, it raises for me the question, how can I minister? How can I minister to others in the power of the Holy Spirit like that? I mean, could God do something like that through me? And the answer is a resounding yes. If you know Jesus and he's put his Spirit in your life. Because from this amazing story where Peter and John, the two former fishermen and followers of Jesus, they're on their way to pray in the temple about 3 p.m, and there's a lame man. And he's begging for money, of course, because he can't work. He's been lame from birth. He's dependent on handouts to exist. And Peter comes up to him and says, would you just look at us for a moment? And of course, he said, oh, finally, someone's going to give me some cash this afternoon. And Peter then goes out to demonstrate what is absolutely foundational for us to understand if God's Spirit that's in us works through us. And it's simply this. We need to realize that God's Spirit in us wants to flow through us. Listen, this is not a surprise. Peter says to him, now, because the guy's expecting money. And he said, now, silver and gold I don't have. What you're expecting from me, I can't deliver on. But I have something else that I can give you. What was that something else he had? Advanced medical technology at his disposal so that he could have orthopedic surgery and walk after all this? Of course not. He had the power of the Holy Spirit in him, just like you. This former fisherman had the power of the Holy Spirit in him, just like you and I have, when God's Spirit comes and fills us. That word have literally means, in the Greek, it's the word echo. It's an easy word to pronounce, echo. And it simply means to hold something, either of an ability or a possession. He said, I have a possession. I don't have the possession you can measure and count like money, but I have another possession. It wasn't his talent. It wasn't his ability. It was the power of the Holy Spirit through his life. What I have, I give to you. Because, you see, the Spirit of God in you wants to flow through you. And that's why, number one, we need to reject the notion that God cannot use us. You know, many of us live with this sense like, I don't think I quite rate with God. I could understand him using a former fisherman like Peter because he knew Jesus personally, all this, and this happened in the Bible. But you know what? I don't know that God could ever, I don't know I could ever pray someone at the altar and just clearly connect with a word of faith that brought a transformation 900 miles away. I don't know about that. That's because, you know, we're like Charlie Brown, you know, in the Peanuts. You know, he's building this birdcage. And Lucy comes up and says, Charlie, how's your birdcage doing? And Charlie says, well, I'm a lousy carpenter. I can't nail straight. I can't saw straight. I keep splintering the wood. Plus, I'm nervous. I lack confidence. He says, and I'm stupid. And I have no sense of design whatsoever. So, given all that, I think it's going okay. And we come to God like this, you know, and we immediately are tripping over ourselves. And we, you know, what do I bring to this? I mean, you know, who am I that God would do a miracle through my life? And you see, the point is, it's not what you can do. It's what you can give away of the Spirit of God in you. Peter knew what he had, why he had it, and he gave it away. And this is incredibly important. In fact, we had a numbers of our children filled with the Holy Spirit as well as adults during a Holy Spirit conference a few weeks ago. And I remember Tim Enloe saying publicly and saying to me personally, he said, Pastor, you got to make sure that these children, these young people have been filled with the Spirit, that you get them immediately praying for other people and telling their friends at school about Jesus. Because if they don't start giving away, they're going to become like the rest of us, where we think the Holy Spirit's for us, and it stops there, and we lock his potential down in our life because we don't understand that what has come to us of the Spirit, God wants to flow through us. We've got to give it away. In fact, that's why it's so important to begin to connect our hearts immediately with human need. here they were. What a picture. They're on their way to prayer at 3 in the afternoon, which is kind of a picture of our pursuit of God. We're on our way. We're pursuing God. But on the way, we don't just walk by and ignore the human need that God puts right in our path. At 3 o'clock, they're on their way to the temple to pray, and here's incredible human need. And immediately, Peter discerns that what has come to him of the power of the Spirit, God wants to flow through him. And all it takes is connecting with human need. You seeking the Lord to be full of the Holy Spirit and then exposing yourself to human need. And let human need plug in to the gift of the Holy Spirit within you. And watch what God begins to do. Next week we're starting our missions conference. And I think spiritually we come closer to the heart of God during our missions conference than any other time of the year. Because it's God's heart not just to come to us but to flow through us. To touch people who still don't know Him. We're here not for us. We don't exist for us. We exist for people that haven't been reached yet. I heard a church planter who talked about how he'd planted many churches. Someone asked him, he said, you know, we've realized some of your churches failed and some succeeded. And do you know why some fail and some really make it? And he said, you know, of the, dozen and a half churches I planted, he said, they were all in different kinds of neighborhoods, different kinds of people groups. He said, there was really only one thing in common. He said, every church that I planted that succeeded, within the first few weeks that they existed, they decided, beyond giving to themselves, they needed to immediately, with their money and their time, invest in reaching people outside themselves. They began to support missionaries. They began to do things that gave money away from them to people that still hadn't heard, and they got involved in missions. He said, every church that took on a heart to give away to a world yet unreached succeeded. And he said, without fail, every church plant that decided, you know what, we're just getting started. We got to pay our bills. We can't afford to give money away. We need for ourselves. Every church that started that way and put off foreign missions until, quote-unquote, their time and finances could afford it, they failed, every one of them, because something locks up in us when we take in, but we don't take what we have and give it unto others. This is 101 spirituality. But folks, if God's speaking you to step up and teach a class, if you're sitting here and you feel a word of encouragement or a scripture verse for somebody else that's here, you know what? You need to step out. God gives you opportunity to talk to somebody about Jesus this week. You need to give away what you have. It's not your talent. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that God's given away. All it takes is rejecting the notion that God can't use you, because this isn't you you're giving away. This is the gift of God inside you you're giving and connecting people with. You just connect with human need. You just have a broken heart for people's needs. And then be willing to understand that God's Spirit in you wants to flow through you. That's the very beginning point. And then after that, you know what? And I'm sorry about this point. I wish I could have skipped over this one, but I can't. You have to be willing to take a risk for the sake of ministering to somebody. You have to be willing to take a risk. Don't we love risk? Don't we love to live without risk? Someone wrote this, there was a very cautious man who never laughed or played. He never risked, he never tried, he never sang or prayed. And one day he passed away, his insurance was denied. For since he never really lived, they claimed he never died. Ouch. Okay, here's the risk moment. Here's a guy who's never walked in his life. Sitting outside the temple, Peter and John are on their way. Peter says, look at me. That was a risk right there. And he said, first of all, there's something in me that's going to flow through me, and I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to let it flow through me. I don't have silver or gold, but what I have, I give to you. What he had was the power of the Spirit, just like every one of us. And then he took the risk. He put his neck out on the line. And he said, rise up and walk. And then he reached down and began to help this guy up. As if it was really going to happen. Now, folks, that's a risk. Because I know one of the things that shuts me down, when there's a moment to give away of the Spirit of God's life, God to speak through me, God to pray through me, God to minister through me, to teach through me, to do something through me. I remember when I first began teaching, I used to go into that teaching center harassed with the thought that I will never in my life be able to say anything that helps anybody. Because I had my result on, what if this doesn't work? Sometimes I go to pray for you. You come for the healing, you know, and I go, Oh man, I don't know if I want to do this because what if nothing happens? Then you're going to think, well, what do we hire this guy as a pastor for? And God's hand's not even on him. I mean, he lost his anointing somewhere this last week. You know, and I don't know about you, but I get all wrapped up like, what if I take a risk and try to give away what's in me and the person's not healed? Or they think it was a boring teaching. Or they walk away and they reject everything I say. And we get our eyes on the results and we get tied up in knots. And folks, I can't take this away from you. You take a risk when you start giving away what's inside you. And there's times where nothing happens. And you got to deal with that. And so I learned years ago that I need to start putting the pressure on God for the results and not on me. You know, now when I consciously, even yet, tell myself, when one of you may come up to pray for me, and I hope you're constantly praying for other people yourselves. God's Spirit's in me, yes, but He's in every one of us that are filled with His Spirit. And I hope that when you go to those moments and you begin to say, you know what, I feel like God gave me this scripture verse of encouragement to go share with somebody. I don't even really know that well after service. And yet that's how most of ministry happens here. And you go and they're going to, you know, and you're saying to yourself, what if this has nothing to do with their situation? And what if they pop me in the nose and say, how rude of you, I don't even know you. And what if nothing happens? You know, they're not going to look like a fool. I'm going to look unspiritual. And that used to torment me so much that it would shut me down to really just minister. Sometimes I wouldn't feel spiritual. Sometimes, I remember years ago, for a season of time, I just went through a period where I wasn't connecting emotionally with my spirituality. And the funniest things happened. I still had to, because I was involved in ministry. I still had to pray for people. I still had to teach some and preach. You know what? The most amazing things started to happen. I started seeing the greatest miracles happen when I did not feel spiritual at all. Because God was trying to teach me, listen, your emotional energy sometimes has nothing to do with my spiritual power in you. And, you know, you're looking at yourself, and so you don't want to take a risk because I don't feel anything, so I don't think God will answer this prayer for somebody. Or you're saying, and because I don't feel very spiritual, I'm pretty sure nothing's going to happen. Maybe I shouldn't even try. You got to put the pressure on God. This is not you. It's His Spirit through you. He just wants you to connect a human need into His power in you. And you just have to take this step of faith and take the risk. Put the pressure on God for the results. And don't even put God in a box for what He does. Some of us, you know, we prayed for some people and wonderful things have happened. We prayed for others. Apparently nothing happened. And so, you know, I don't know if we start feeling responsible for that or what, or we don't want to take the risk. Tim Enloe, again, who was with us on our Holy Spirit conference, I heard him tell the story in another context, a remarkable story, of a guy who came up to him after one of his services, because God uses Tim in healing a lot. We had quite a few healings during our Holy Spirit conference. And he said this guy came up, he had no shoulder. His shoulder socket was non-existent. Instead, he had this sort of bulge in his front, in the front of his chest, kind of a contorted thing with his arm coming out of that. He was seriously deformed. And the guy came up for healing. And Tim said, I was just about to pray for him, and the Spirit of the Lord just spoke to me and said, he doesn't know me. And so I just looked at the guy and I said, pardon me, have you ever asked Jesus to forgive your sin and come into your life? And Tim said, the guy looked at me and he says, no, I'm not a Christian. And Tim said, I guess it was the spirit, this is his word, I guess it was the spirit of stupidity who came over me. And he said, instead of leading him to the Lord, I just thought I'd pray for him anyway. He said, I just began to gently pray for him. And all of a sudden you could hear this cracking and you saw movement. He said it was the most amazing thing. It was an absolute recreative miracle. You saw this bulge move from his chest and God literally recreated a shoulder socket. And he suddenly, within a minute, it took about a minute for all this to happen, right in front of their eyes. And he was absolutely healed. And the guy looked down and said, whoa, that's pretty good. And so Tim looked at him and said, so you don't want to receive Jesus? Are you ready to receive Jesus in your life? And the guy looked at him back. He said, Well, actually, not really. He said, I'm really having fun living life my own way, but I got what I want, so I'm out of here. And he just walked out the door. He said, the amazing thing about that was that I had this dear friend, a godly, godly man, served Jesus all his life. I'd prayed for him all kinds of times. And at the moment when this miracle was taking place, he was lying in a hospital bed dying as if God wasn't answering any of our prayers. And he said, this man walked out, rejected Jesus, but walked away with an incredible miracle. And my friend a few days later died in the hospital, the godly man who I thought deserved it. And you know what? You try to start figuring out the end result. I mean, when you put the pressure on God for whatever happens, you're going to have to get used to mystery, enigma. A God you just can't understand. A God you go, God, you're not doing it right. And God looks down in his holiness and say, really? You just got to put the pressure on God to superintend the results. Your place is to take the risk. And even if you end up looking like a fool, at least you took the risk to try to give away what God. Leave the results in God's hands. But don't ever let worrying about what might or might not happen shut you down from trying and taking the risk. And then after you've done that, after you put the pressure on God, then I really encourage you to always begin those ministry moments by asking God's Spirit to lead you. Ask God's Spirit to lead you. Now I've come. You know, I used to think I got the formula down. I got it right down. I kind of figured out how to preach a little bit. I know most of you probably disagree with that. But, you know, sometimes I feel once every few months, I think I got preaching figured out. Or someone comes up to pray. Oh, I prayed for this kind of need all kinds of times. And we either get presumptuous or else we're, you know, caving in on ourselves like, what if nothing happens? I don't know if I should share that encouraging word or teach that class or pray for that person. And, part of helping me relax and helping me put the pressure on God and helping me take that risk is just to say, Lord, will you just lead me in this moment? Sometimes someone's coming, I've had this sinus infection for 3 months, Pastor, will you pray for me? And I'll start to pray for them. And, I'll pray for the sinus infection usually, but often something will start happening in my heart. For me, it's nothing spooky. It's just like suddenly something becomes just absolutely obvious to me. That they're really wrestling with something in their life or something. Well, there's a relational issue in their life. And so I'll pray for the sinus infection. But often I found when people even ask for ministry, it's need at this level, but God sees need at a deeper level. In fact, sometimes spiritual and emotional and heart needs are more important to God than even physical needs. And so I'll just start. But if I ask the Holy Spirit just to lead me, I don't feel pressure to be smart enough to figure this out. I don't feel pressure to be spooky enough or have the right tone of voice to make something happen. Your tone of voice won't make anything happen. Faith in Jesus will. But say, Holy Spirit, will you just lead me? I'm a little worried. I'm going to pray for this person. Nothing's going to happen. We're all going to stand here embarrassed. But at least I'm going to ask you to lead me. I'm going to put the pressure on you for the results. Meanwhile, I want to start by asking you to lead me. Show me how to pray. And sometimes I pray for the sinus infection, and I just start praying for other things, gently and carefully, but sensitively, but you do that. And then people, sometimes their sinus infection is not healed, but they will open their eyes wide and say, how did you know all that? I go, well, I don't know, but I just, there's no formulas to this. It just was clear as a bell to me when I started praying for you. It's just obvious to me. This is what, God can speak to you. If you're constantly headed to the place of prayer like Peter and John, you're constantly headed, God, I just want to walk in your Spirit. I want to be full of your Spirit. And where would you lead me in ministry moments? You sit beside the plane, I'm beside a non-Christian on the plane, and, God, just lead me. Help me to, show me how to start a conversation. I don't know how to start a conversation. Well, you start, I'm handicapped because when I tell people I'm a pastor, they don't want to talk to me anymore. Most people in the world hate my kind. They certainly don't trust me. But you don't have those inhibitors. I really need God to lead me if I'm going to talk to somebody beside me on the plane. But you know what? Just say, God, I'm open today. Will you just lead me? So the Spirit of God upon you means that he wants to flow through you. What I have, I give to you. And then it's going to mean for the sake of ministry, you're going to need to take a risk. Peter did that. He stepped out on a limb. It would have been very embarrassing if nothing had happened, but he was willing to take that risk. He leaned over and began to help him up, the scripture says, as he told him to rise and walk. And then He explains this later because people come to him and they're kind of, oh, you're such an awesome person. You healed this person. And he says, no, it wasn't me. And then he puts what we need to do. He put the focus on the authority of Jesus' name rather than our ability. Focus on Christ's authority rather than your ability. This is what he did. For a few verses later, in verse 16, he says, I want to tell you something. He says, it's by faith in the name of Jesus that this man, whom you see and know, you've known him, you've seen him every day here. It's by faith in the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus that's made this man strong. It's Jesus' name, he goes on to say. And the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. And there's where we realize that the Spirit of God wants to flow through us, such as I have, I give you. We realize that it's a matter of taking a risk for the sake of ministry. Rise, he says, and walk. But it's also a matter of putting all the focus on Jesus' name. Faith in Jesus' authority. His name means his authority. His authority and not our ability. And so, first of all, I find it very important that I know who I am in Christ. That as know who you are in Christ. That is God's minister. It's not that you have a flawless track record and so you are qualified to minister. I want to tell you the times when in my mind I get the most harassed about self-doubt and the enemy just comes and lies to me the most are usually ministry moments. I'm just laying my hands on somebody's shoulders to begin to pray for them, the prayer of faith. And in my mind will come, you know what, Jim? Last Thursday morning, you didn't get your hour alone with God last Thursday morning. You missed it. So who are you to think that God's going to use you today? Or sometimes I'll be getting ready to preach and I'll think, you know what? The devil remind me of failures in the past years, places I should have obeyed God and I didn't. And then he'll harass me and say, you know, you don't belong on the platform preaching. You belong under the pew in the back row because you certainly don't deserve for God to use you. It was a great revelation a number of years ago when I finally found out that it's one of the rare times that the devil was right. I don't deserve for him to use me. But that's not the issue. For I'm no longer in me. I now have been transformed, and I am in Christ. In me, I'm guilty as all get out. But in Christ, I'm forgiven. In me, I'm dead spiritually, dead as a doornail. But in Christ, I have his resurrection power working in me. In me, I wouldn't have the authority to heal a mosquito. But in Christ, all things are possible. In me, when I use Jesus' name, the devil will laugh at me and beat me up. But in Christ, his child, forgiven by what he did at the cross and alive by his resurrection power, because I now have relocated my identity from in me to in Jesus, that's where, when I use his name, authority and life and power come. It was true for these former fishermen, Peter and John, and it's true for you if the Spirit of God is upon you in Christ. And then to further put the focus on his name. It says it's faith in his name. I coined a little adage I made it up, but I've kind of been using it the last few years. In government, if there's a scandal, they say follow the money. But I found in the kingdom of God, if there's a miracle at hand, you've got to follow the faith. Would you say that out loud with me? Follow the faith. Follow the faith. First of all, we're just wired to know the Holy Spirit's not just for me. It's come in me to flow through me. And then I'm willing to take the risk to engage in ministry moment, to obey Jesus when he's asking me to step out in some way. And then I need to follow the faith. I've been asking him to lead me by his Holy Spirit as I take that risk and follow the faith. I found that God's faith, faith's a choice. Faith's something we nurture as we stay in the Word and stay in prayer and fellowship. But faith is also a gift of the Spirit. And I found that faith, if I'm trying to make a decision, should I do this or that, I'll ask myself, what do I sense faith for? And then I'll follow the faith. That's usually the sign of God's direction. And in terms of how to pray for somebody or what to do, I follow the faith that centers me on Jesus' name. I begin to sense faith in the authority of Jesus' name that certain things are going to happen. That's the gift of faith that really helps us and works through us. So, silver and gold have I none, Peter and John said, but such as I have, I give to you. That means what's in you of the Spirit of God needs to flow through you. And he said, rise up and walk. That means you're going to have to take a risk and leave the results in God's hands. But he also said, it's faith in the name of Jesus. So who you are in Christ is his child. You have the authority of heaven and earth. And just follow the faith he puts in your heart that centers on the name of Jesus. Now we're going to close in a little different way this morning, because I thought this would be a wonderful moment. As you know, we have a church business meeting this Wednesday night. It's in the multipurpose area, not in here. We're going to have coffee around tables, just real light refreshments. Not a meal, but just light refreshments. And we're going to elect two brand new positions to our board, count for ministry, make a few other important decisions about our church life on Wednesday night. Encourage all of you to come. And those, whether you're a voting member or not, but we have like 24 people this last week who just joined the church. And we're going to pray for them. We had a few of them in the first service, and we're going to have a few of them now. One of the reasons I wanted to do it right now was because every one of these voting members have made a covenant of commitment to the life of the church, which includes what we were talking about earlier, being a part of a small group, a class, a ministry team, something smaller than what we're doing right now, so that they can build relationship. They, by the way, made a commitment never to gossip about any of you. It's wonderful. And they've made a commitment to protect your reputation and to give financially to the church. And also, every one of them made this very important commitment that they will give their time in volunteer ministry. That they're going to say, God, I believe that what's come to me can flow through me and that you can use me. And I'm going to, by your grace, obey you. I thought this would be a wonderful time to welcome them in a membership, but also to pray over them that God will fill them as they join our ministry team as people who say, the Spirit of God, I'm going to trust. I'm going to take the risks. I'm going to sign up for a ministry. I'm going to follow the Lord's prompting and obey him.